I have a question I want some participation on this evening. In fact, I've got two of them. The first one is this. If money were no object in any fashion, what would be your personal wish for Christmas? If money were no object. And no, I'm not going to buy it for you. I just want to know who is brave enough to stay up. Well, I'd really like this. Yes, personal wish, what you would want. I'm trying to help the fellas out here a little bit. Go ahead. I don't care.
My personal wish would be to give money that could be given to charities, needy folks.
To be given money to be able to give away. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Anyone else? Greg?
I've been working with Samaritan's Purse on this water for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would supply the whole world with machines to make sure everybody had fresh water.
Oh. Okay. Okay. To pay off all of your kids' college debts? Does your kids include Keith? Oh, his is paid off. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
My Christmas wish would be that my extended family would all know salvation, would all be saved. That's the most important thing.
Okay. 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 That all of your extended family would know Jesus, would come to know Jesus. Good. All right. Anyone else? Because I've got the second question coming up. Yes.
Help those families in need in our area that would, you know, benefit. Help those who are in desperate need.
Okay. To be able to help those families in the area that are in desperate need. Good.
How about a pink Cadillac?
Now, see.
If you work for Mary Kay.
Now, see, there's an honest man. He's saying he wants a pink Cadillac. Okay. And you're listening to that, right, Shirley? You're writing it down? I'm just trying to help you out here, you know, because we're running short on time.
I don't know what happened to this Cadillac.
Now, see, I figured someone would say that the Steelers would win a game once in a while. Yeah, Minnesota lost today, too. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you the second question. If God were to come to you and want to pour out to you a gift, what would you want?
Eternal life.
Eternal life? Okay. What would you want? Excuse me? It's not a thing of topping. All right? It's not a thing of topping. Because I'll tell you before we're done what I would wish. All right?
I wish you would come back tomorrow or today.
Tonight.
Before next Sunday. Yeah. So that, yeah, I understand. Okay, that he would come back very, very soon.
Tonight.
Tonight. Okay, he's getting very specific now.
Well, if you're asking for something personal, I would ask for the gift of discernment. So I would know just how to respond to each situation correctly, how to just to know the correct way to understand the correct way to respond and act in all situations.
Okay. Okay, good. The gift of discernment. The wisdom to understand. To understand what, Joyce? All things? Okay, okay. The wisdom to understand all things? Anyone else?
The ability to bring all people to know him.
The ability? Okay, the gift of evangelism. All right. Anyone else? God were to pour out on you a Christmas gift. What would that be?
I think $1 million would be okay.
You think $1 million would be all right? Okay.
Just one.
Just $1 million? All right. All right. Peace on earth. Okay. Leah is going away, going the way of all of the beauty pageant contestants. You know, that's what they always want. Peace on earth. Yeah. Okay, but that's excellent as well. What else? You just want a temporary visit to heaven, huh? Okay, good, good. Anyone else? My wish would be that every one of us would realize how special and precious we are to God, and would live that to make a change in this world. You know, we have, in modern day times, we have forgotten how precious we are to God. We often realize how precious God is to us. Okay, we sing songs along those lines and, you know, all of that kind of thing. But we forget how precious we are to God. And when we forget that, we back off on using our gifts and our talents and being the treasures that God wants us to be. You see, when God sent Jesus to this earth, he sent him so that he would be able to save his people from their sins. And not save them in their sins, all right? Save them from their sins. To give them power and authority to live above the standards of the world. And when we make the decision that we're going to honor God and we're going to follow through with him, we begin to understand a little bit about how precious we are to God. And this Christmas time, my Christmas wish is that we would really come to the understanding of how valuable we are to God's plan. Jesus was talking on the hillside, and he talked about being lights. And in being lights, he tells us to be lit up, doesn't he? Let your light so be blown out in front of the world, right? No. Let your light so shine, not be blown out, but to so shine that others may see God in you and give glory to God. Let your light so shine before men. You see, we are precious enough to God that He trusts us with His gospel. Isn't that something? Gary wants $1 million. All right? Gary, what you're going to do with that $1 million is you're going to, how do I say this? You're going to allow a known thief and swindler to take care of that $1 million for you. Right?
I have to think about that one.
You'd have to think. Then you're not ready for that $1 million, man, if you've got to take a moment to think about that. No, you're not going to trust someone like that. Right? But if Jesus were to come and say, hey, I've got this $1 million for you. I'll be glad to invest it. I will be glad to take care of it for you. I'll be glad to distribute it for you. Would you trust him? That's exactly what God has done with you and I. Exactly. He has given us the treasure of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us within us the treasure of the Holy Spirit. Because he trusts us. And folks, it's time that the body of Christ realize what an incredible honor that is. God has poured out for you incredible gifts. And everyone here has some type of spiritual gift, a treasure within you to be able to work in God's economy, in God's kingdom, to make an impact and an influence in people's lives. You are valuable to God. Isn't that incredible? And you want to know the downside of that is? If we don't do our job and our responsibility, there's no one else going to. You have and I have a sphere of influence. Certain individuals that God places in our paths and in our lives to be able to effect for the kingdom of God. And when we live Christ, let our lights shine before men. When we live Christ, we positively affect them for the kingdom's sake, and thereby honor the will of God for our lives. But if we don't, it's not going to get done. I've been doing a lot of study lately on, and we're probably going to end up doing this after the first of the year, where we look at the lives of the apostles, and in looking at the lives of the apostles, see what type of influence they had. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you and I are here today because they were faithful 2,000 years ago. And should the Lord tarry and Matt not get his wish that Jesus comes back now, tonight, okay? Should Matt not get his Christmas wish and God determines, I'm going to let this world spin another 2,000 years, all right? Our faithfulness to God will be carried on. If we're faithful. Why? Because we're valuable. We are treasures to God. Stop and think about it. Treasures enough that He invested His Son's blood for each one of us. Would you invest your child's blood for people that you knew were not going to accept you? You wouldn't. God did. You know, it's an incredible, incredible thing when we really begin to focus on how precious God views us. And when we really catch it, we don't cheapen the gift that God has given us in life by continuing to live in sin. But instead, we turn our backs on sin and our face towards glory. And in turning our face towards glory, we reflect the goodness of God. Let our lights so shine before men that they see our Heavenly Father. I want to give you five gifts that God has given us. And you can do what you want to with these. This is not exactly a Christmas message, but that's all right. The very first thing that God has given us through His Son Jesus is the gift of salvation. It's the gift of salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 tells us that we are justified. We are justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God redeems us. That means that He buys us back from the evil one, and that's a part of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He has purchased our salvation through His brokenness, through His shed blood, in order that He might give us life. And so He brings us the gift of salvation. And He offers that gift to everyone. and he gives you and I the privilege of sharing in his call to share that gift throughout this world. You know, it's not just the Billy Grahams, but it's the everyday Joe that has the call to honor God and to live for him in a way that produces life. Be faithful to God, and he'll bless you. Secondly, the second thing that Jesus gives us is serenity, or if you will, peace. The word peace has come up a couple of times here. And I don't think that there's a one of us that wants to see a world at war. I really don't. And yet, there's often times that we're really not concerned about the world of war that's taking place within an individual. Because there's a war going on there too. It's a spiritual war. Satan is in individuals fighting against the glory and the grace of God. And with that kind of a war going on, people are not at peace. But Jesus has come that we might have peace within our hearts, peace with God and peace with our fellow man. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." That's interesting to me, because this comes at a time when Jesus is aware of what's going to be taking place with Calvary's cross. He is aware of what's going to happen to these disciples that are following him. He knows that these guys are going to, some of them are going to give their very life's blood for the cause. That there's going to be spiritual warfare going on against them continually. And yet he says to them, "My peace I give to you. My peace." That's a great gift, isn't it? Peace in the midst of war. That needs to be celebrated. The third thing that Jesus gives us as a gift is the gift of strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who lives in me." I can do all things. John, you want to be one who shares Jesus Christ so that people can find life. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Folks, God wants us to be effective warriors in his battle and in his kingdom. And he wants us to capture the enemy's troops and to bring them to peace. That's awesome. That's awesome. We will play various roles in that effort. There's no doubt about it. Jesus said there are going to be those that sow. There are going to be those that water or nurture what's been sown. And there are going to be those that reap. but it's always God that gives the increase. But you see, each individual is a valuable, important part of the cultivation of that soul. Everyone, from the one who has sowed the seed to the one who watered through faithful living and through witnessing and testifying, to the one who gets the privilege of reaping. All share equally. Every one of us here is the result of someone being faithful. You stop and think about it. It may have been a parent that showed us love, grace, taught us about God. Might have been a Sunday school teacher. May have been a pastor. May have been a neighbor. May have been a friend. May have been an evangelist. May have been someone that handed us a tract. But every one of those individuals played a role in our coming to life in Jesus Christ. And the peace that we experience and the strength that is given to us is given to us because of the faithfulness of so many. Be faithful. Follow through. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. The fourth thing that Jesus gives us is stability. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 tells us, "But the God of all grace, may he make you perfect and establish you and strengthen you and settle you." He gives stability. We all know people that are just kind of all over the place. You know, one day they're up, the next day they're down. One day they're red hot on fire for the Lord, the next day they're cold and indifferent. One day they're excited because something great has happened, the next day they're disappointed because nothing great happened. We know people that are like that. But when someone comes into a real life-changing faith, they find they're not all over the place like that. But Jesus brings a stability to them that lets them take the good with the bad, that helps them to be strong and confident in God even when they don't get their way and when things don't go the way they think they should. Jesus brings stability. And that's important. And then the fifth thing that Jesus gives us is security. He has promised us a home in his heaven. He has promised us his presence forever. John 14, verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, but we're not so. I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I will come again." In this world of questioning, in this world of doubting, in this world where people don't care about keeping their word or honoring their word, we can trust Jesus. What he has promised, he will deliver. What he has declared, he will fulfill. He's preparing a place for you and I. When it's all ready, he'll come and get us. We can trust that. In him is the surety of fulfilled promises, because he can't lie. Five gifts that Jesus has come to bring us: salvation, serenity, strength, stability, and security. What else could we ask for? Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son Jesus and for all that he has provided for us to give us life. Father, thank you for those who have lived faithfully for you throughout the years. Father, I look back at even at this church and the short amount of time in the span of history that this church has existed. And yet, Father, we owe much to those who were faithful to you and established this church. And Jesus, should you tarry, we want to be able to leave a legacy for those coming along behind, that this church may exist and be able to be a place where people can find peace for their troubled hearts. Lord, that's all because you were faithful to the Father. The apostles were faithful to you, and they built upon your word and established the church, which is your plan. And Father, help us to be as faithful as they were, so that the legacy may go on. Now, Father, we love you. We thank you again for your love for us. Please give us help and direction. Give us encouragement and strength, so that as we go through this week, we might come back together in your house for this grand day of celebration. And Lord, may you be glorified in it all. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.